John chapter 8 this morning. We'll be in verse 43. As we've been going verse by verse through the Bible in the book of John, and I say this on a regular basis, but the more we go verse by verse, the more I see the importance of it, of us not skipping anything anywhere in the Bible and keeping it in context and not putting in there traditions of men or how we think it should say. Or listen, folks, when we have our mindset made up in an area that we've been taught our whole life, and if that mindset is wrong, when we see Scripture, we'll try to twist that Scripture to make it fit where it don't go. And I believe we can say that we've all been guilty of that. But as we truly study the Word of God, the Word of God sets us free. Amen? And it also calls grounded upon Christ more and more. And this morning I hope that we are set free, especially in our witnessing to others. And that we would understand this morning, as before we leave from here this morning, that we have a freedom in witnessing, a freedom in proclaiming Christ to this lost and dying world. So if you would please stand, we'll look at John 8:43. Christ says here, speaking to these Jews, these Pharisees, these scribes, this religious crowd, he says, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful again for your word this morning. Thankful for the sweet Holy Spirit which gives us understanding. Lord, you've given us unction that we may hear, that we may see. When at one time we heard and didn't hear and saw and didn't see, but now we do because of your grace. Thank you, God, for your call to salvation and for your love towards us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May be seated. We have understanding of the Word of God because of God. Last week we saw that we love Christ because of God, because God first loved us in 1 John 4:19. Here we have understanding of the Word of God because of God. It's amazing that as you look here at the discourse in John chapter 8, how much Christ has taught and spoken to these Jews here. Earlier in chapter 8, you see where he was actually sitting down at the temple teaching folk, and these Jews, these scribes, these Pharisees would come and try to start arguments to try to get try to catch him in his words. And he would constantly give the Word of God, constantly teach, and teach. And even here in these past few verses, even from verse 30 to where we're at now, he's been talking to them about the truth and truth setting them free. And yet their answers to his questions or their response to what he's saying is not lining up with what he's teaching. Their response isn't. Which shows that they're not understanding what he's saying. This shows that they're not grasping what he is teaching. It's amazing how much he said, how much he's taught, but yet they still are not getting it. There are some here who was understanding his speech, but most of them wasn't. This word speech in verse 43 is simply talk, saying, speech. He asked them this question, "Why do ye not understand my speech?" This is a thought-provoking question. Let me make this clear. We are all different. Would you agree? Some folk in here have a mind of mechanics. You can look at something and you understand how mechanicking on something works. Some of you ladies, I'm not a lady, so I struggle when I try to give an illustration with a lady because I'm not a lady. Don't be offended. Some of you ladies see a good deal when you see one. Amen. It's a blue tag special or a red tag special. I'm not sure what all that stuff means, but you know it when you see it. Others don't. Some of you are able to make budgets. Others are not. Amen? Some folks have good hand-eye coordination on working on things such as things with hydraulics. Others do not. Some are very, very smart, have an intellectual knowledge about science and math. Amen? Others like myself do not. So we are different. Would you agree? We different. How many of you here know how to work a shovel? How many of you don't know because you don't want to know? Amen. So there is also a difference in being ignorant about something and then that willful ignorance. Amen. But I want to make this clear in that, and we'll look at this here in a little while. You and I as saved people have been given unction, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2. We have been given an understanding of the Word of God. So when Christ asks these Jews here, this is a very thought-provoking question. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Why are you not understanding what I'm saying? This would really catch their attention. Now you have to picture this. This ain't just one or two people he's talking to. He's at the temple. There are multitudes everywhere. These Jews here, we know, are very, very self-righteous. Very, very prideful. And when you provoke, as Jesus is doing here, a very self-righteous or a prideful person, when you question them, question their authority, and even more so, when they are not able to give you an answer to appear that they know it all, somebody say amen, we see they get offended real easy. And matter of fact, vehemently offended. As we look in verse 48, and we'll get there eventually, that they get to the point where they can no longer answer Christ anything. So then they begin to accuse him, and they resort to name-calling pretty much and say he's got a devil because they have nothing else they could say. And, of course, they do this to get the emphasis off of them. And here's the thing, folks. The more they talk, the more is manifested or made known that they ain't got a clue. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? It speaketh. He asks them this question, and then he answers it for them. That's got to make them mad. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. This word hear, if you look up, it means to comprehend. And here it speaks, it's in the present tense. It is continuous and repeated action. He's saying that you are not continually hearing what I'm saying. From the start, even to now, you've never heard, you've never understood what I said. Now look what it is that they don't understand. Even because you cannot hear my word. They were not hearing Christ's words. They were not understanding his teachings, his doctrines. They couldn't grasp it. They could not comprehend what it was that Christ was saying. Now understand this. These men are not deaf. They are not unlearned men. They knew the first five books of the Bible. And I want to stress this again. It was not the names of the books. They knew every word of the first five books of the Bible. These men were not unlearned. They knew of the prophets. Scribes were here. Scribes would copy the law. The lawyers of the law was here. These we would call these people today doctors of theology. They were very, very wise men. They were not stupid. I know people don't like that word, but they were not. They were brilliant. Educated men. They knew much about the Word of God. Would you agree? But yet they could not understand what Christ was saying. Since they could not understand it, what he was saying was not profitable to them. Christ's words are profitable. Would you agree? But it wasn't to them. Why? Because they couldn't hear it. They couldn't understand it. Let me tell you what they knew. They knew the traditions of men. They knew the traditions of the elders. They taught, they put above the doctrines of God, the precepts of men. That's what they taught. The doctrines of the traditions of men, of their fathers. What they saw, now where I'm going with this morning is the fact of you and I witnessing others, okay? So y'all bear with me here. What they saw in the words of Christ was restrictions. Hello? Lord, help me here. They saw reprimands, and they saw something that was ridiculous. They didn't see for a need for it, and they were not hungry for it. It was not profitable to them. What Christ taught, what He said, was not profitable to them. Because they didn't hear it, and they couldn't see it. Now why? It's a good question. Why? Why? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know we were here a little while back, but it goes with this verse here, so we'll come back here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 6. Paul is writing the inspired word. He writes in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 2, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world." Very important we see that. Do you see that? "Not the wisdom of this world, nor of princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before this world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God," watch this, "hath revealed or made known them unto us by His," what? "Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Why? Here's the answer. "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He's saying that we might know, that we may understand, that we may grasp, that what we hear would profit you and I. "These things which are freely given us of God." And when it says freely given, it means that God willingly gave this to us. Look at verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." He says here, "which things we also speak." The things that Paul is speaking of here is the Word of God. Now, what is it that Paul always preached? The Word of God. Go back and look at the "what things" here that the Holy Ghost teaches. Look at verse 12. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Look at verse 11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." How does God speak to you and I today? Through His Word. Only through His Word. There is no other way for God to speak to us. So listen, folks, this is how He has it made. His plan is to speak to you and I through His Word. If you're hearing voices from God, check up, because it ain't from God. There are those who believe you still hear from God with an audible voice. I can give you a few examples in the past 150 years. A guy named Joseph Smith, he said he heard from God. He started a cult called the Mormons. Amen? I could go on and on there, but I won't. Y'all know many of them today. If you watch this internet, if you look at CBD, Christian Book Distributors, and help that organization. But you see the books that are written. I've heard from God, and God spoke to me. If you look at the charismatic movement today, what they're into, all about special revelations, personal, special revelation. I've heard straight from God. God gave me something He's given nobody else. And of course, we know all this is self-glorification. But God speaks to you and I today, folks, through His Word. His Word is unchanging. God is unchanging. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now understand, as I mentioned earlier, all who are saved has received the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, He seals us. He covers us. Amen. He is the earnest down payment applied to you and I. And He takes up residence inside of us. Where does He live at today? Inside of every believer. That's where the Holy Spirit takes up residence. He gives us unction. Unction is simply understanding of the Word of God. All who are saved are given unction. Because all who are saved have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Pretty amazing, ain't it? Now, the all things here isn't speaking of math. It's not speaking of science. It's not speaking of working on vehicles or so on and so forth. But it's speaking of the Word of God. It's saying that the Word of God is made known to you and I. Now, does this mean that we understand completely the whole Word of God instantly? Are we instant theologians? No, of course not. We understand that, amen? But rather, that the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us from the Word of God as we study the Word of God. Have you ever been reading the Word of God, your Bible, and it's just all of a sudden you read something over and over again, and all of a sudden God sheds light on that Scripture, and you're like, wow! Amen? This is not a special open revelation that no one else has ever heard of. Amen. This is simply God revealing truth to you and I from the Word of God. Of course, we see that when we truly break it down. And as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to shew thyself approved unto God. Amen. And we rightly divide the Scriptures. Very important that we rightly divide it. Also very important that we study the Word of God. Here in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says this. But the natural man, this word natural is speaking of the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are, what? Spiritually discerned. Again, the natural man, it's the lost man. He does not have the Holy Spirit living inside of him. Therefore, please understand this, he does not have unction to truly understand the Word of God. This does not mean that he will not grow in knowledge. Did all of us here know who Jesus was before we were saved? We had a knowledge of who Jesus was. We had a knowledge, most of us, of the Word of God. A lost person, understand this, can grow in knowledge, but he cannot grow spiritually. What he is learning will not be transforming his life. He may have a status change, but no heart change. And listen, folks, after a while, it will be made manifest. I'll give you an example. Judas Iscariot. Do you think he grew in the knowledge? I promise you he did. He sat under the greatest teacher ever, Jesus Christ, for over 3 years. He knew what Christ taught. Yet it didn't change him, did it? And in the end, what was on the inside was manifested. I look at all these kids in here. All of them. And thank God for all of them. Amen. Let me tell y'all, how we'll know if the Word of God has taken root in you or not when you get out on your own. Amen? You get out on your own, out from under the authority of your mom and dad. If the Word of God has taken root in you, this don't mean that you're going to be perfect, but you, as Jesus says, you will continue in my Word. If it has not taken root in you, what's going to happen? It's going to be made manifest. Amen? Lord, help us on that day. After a while, the Word of God becomes ridiculous, foolish to the person that's not saved. In verse 14, when it says that because they are spiritually discerned, this is by the assistance of the Holy Spirit was talking about here. We discern the Word of God, please understand this, by the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We understand none of the Word of God without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is ridiculous to us. Now, what's this mean? That God gets all the honor and all the glory. Every bit of it. Look at Matthew 16. Very familiar passage. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It's an amazing statement. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I think about when Christ, as he walked this earth with his disciples, he would speak of a parable, and I didn't go in this direction this morning, and we may at a later date. And then he would take his disciples to the side and explain the parable to them. But the plan of God meant that Christ was going to go where? To the cross. And that Christ was going to ascend back to heaven, death, burial, resurrection. Amen? So that means that Christ would not be here anymore bodily, stay with me, to explain these things to his disciples, right? So look at John 14. This would no doubt be a dilemma outside the plan of God. Amen. John 14, 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you for how long? Ever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now look in John 16. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." What an amazing statement that is. Folks, understand there are some things that we cannot handle it until we grow. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will," watch what he will do, "will guide you into all truth." That word "guide" there simply means show the way. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. And these things to come are those things that are revealed in the Scriptures. That's what it's talking about here. Revealed in the Scriptures. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. A little while ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Isn't it great that God would give us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we could understand His Word, and that He would lead us, guide us, and direct us according to His Word? Praise God. How about this? Isn't it great to have fellowship with the brethren? Have you ever met someone on the job somewhere or in a grocery store or wherever you're at, and there's sweet fellowship there? Because if the Holy Spirit lives inside of each of you? Amen. So, we see it's plain as day that if someone is not saved, the Holy Spirit does not live inside of them, they cannot understand the Word of God, right? But yet you and I, now that we are saved, those of us who are saved, He has taken up residence inside of us, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, and that we have an unction, we have an understanding of the Word of God. We say glory, hallelujah. We get this. We're getting this. The more we study, the more that we're getting. So our irritation comes in when we're witnessing others, don't it? Especially our family members. Amen. We want to, I mentioned this last week, week before, that we may want to grab them and shake them and say, why don't you understand what I'm telling you? Why can't you see that you need Jesus Christ? Why can't you understand that you're on the road to hell? Don't you know hell is real? Don't you know the wrath of God abides on every lost person? Don't you understand that? Why can't you see that? Well, good question. Don't you agree? We must remember that man is born totally depraved. This magnifies the inability of man. He can't understand the Scriptures. Our kids are taught at a young age. I can remember Jacob being in the nursery back there, probably, what, 4 years old? Five. And a little girl back there with him named Whitney, there's about the same age. And Whitney was squalling. What's wrong, Whitney? Jacob said, we're going to die and go to hell because we're not saved. What was he doing? He was simply telling what the Bible said. I mean, as a child, he understood that. Amen. Let me get back here. Mankind is born how? Spiritually dead. This means we are born dead to the things of God. And only God can awaken us to the things of God. Look in John 6:44. These are verses that most of you are familiar with. We haven't looked at them in a while. But look in John 6:44. Now this is going to help us this morning if we understand what we're talking about, especially in witnessing to others. John 6:44, the Bible says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him. And I've erased them up to the last day. That word drag there, draw, it actually means to drag. Now here we are at times trying to witness to our families. Does anybody struggle with this? Raise your hand. Witnessing with your family members, your friends. You want to tell them about Jesus Christ. You want to tell them everything that you know because you understand because God's now showing you this. Amen. So here you are. You're trying to pull into someone that they have no idea who He is. And if God ain't the one dragging them, it is no good for you and I to try to drag them. How many of you saved yourself? None of you. Much less can we save anyone else. Not going to happen. Look at John 6:65. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Unless the Father allowed it, no man can come to him. No one will come to Christ unless God first draws him. Remember, lost people are spiritually dead. How many of y'all ever went up to a casket and talked to a dead person? Have you ever done that? Did they talk back? Let me go ahead and tell you, if they did, they were not dead. And if you buried them, you were in trouble. Amen. It's the same way spiritually. Have you ever tried to make a dead person understand the scriptures in that coffin? You preach to them? Give them the word of God? Bang on their chest? Can't you hear what I'm telling you? What kind of response did you get? We can say it's a one-way conversation, ain't it? Matter of fact, it doesn't matter how sincere you are, they cannot hear. And it is the same way spiritually. When someone is spiritually dead, it's the same way. Simply look back at your own life. Look back at your own life. How you lived. Having some knowledge of the Bible, like I mentioned a while ago, there were things that you knew. And then all of a sudden, one day, God began to make it real to you. What is this? This is God drawing you. God quickening you. He's making you alive. Think back in your own life. Then you were able to hear and understand the Word of God. You saw your need for Christ. You placed your faith, your trust in Christ. Not no traditions, not no gimmicks, not no feelings, not no experiences. You simply put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. You took Him at His Word. This is a working of God's free grace in your life. What happened after that point? A radical transformation took place. Look at John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Watch this. I want y'all to look at John 6:45. You looking at it? Every man, therefore, that hath what? And hath learned of the Father, what's he do? Amen. It's all, but yet it's limited to. Does it make sense here? This word here in verse 4, this word heard in verse 45 is the same word in John 8:43 up here. Same Greek word, same definition. What's the difference in those of John 8:43 and these here in John 6:45? What's the difference? Well, look at it. This word here in verse 45, it says, hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. These here have heard. They have understood. God has opened up their eyes. God has drawn them. God has dragged them. And now they see. They understand. And they come unto God. These in John 8:43 have not heard. They have not understood. Therefore, they are not coming unto Jesus Christ for salvation. Folks, we have understanding of the Word of God because of God. We have absolutely nothing to glory in whatsoever. He gets all the honor and all the glory. So here's another question that comes up. Well, when and who are we to witness to? Fair question. Well, we are to witness to everyone at every opportunity that we have. We are to proclaim the gospel to all. One way we do it is by lifestyle. We are to live as Christians are supposed to live. Second way, or I should say the other way, is by simply proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ to others. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We are to proclaim the gospel to all, but listen, we cannot make anyone understand the gospel. This is a work that only God can do. We are to proclaim the gospel and live as evidence of one who hath heard and received the gospel by faith. Let me say it this way. We are to be lights in this world, not baseball bats. Y'all get that tomorrow, maybe. Lights, not baseball bats. Now this frees us in witnessing. This frees us. I've really got to be careful here because I'm scared I may get in the flesh. I have a pamphlet at the house I've read a few times. And again, I must be careful because I can get very, very mad spiritually. Did Christ not do that? He made a whip and did what? Drove them dudes out of the temple. Amen. Now, we want to go straight there and get our bats out. Amen. But be careful there. There's a book called Decisional Regeneration at the house. And it's not promoting it whatsoever. It's showing gimmicks. I'll give you an example. Well, I'm put it this way. The Word of God, when preached and taught correctly, it demands a response. Amen? It demands a response. What happens is that people begin to try to make a response of their own doings. So you have a sad story told at the end of a message. You have a song lined up to go with that to pull on people's emotions. We are emotional people, would you agree? Has anybody in here ever cried over a movie? Amen. Emotional people. And if you play on someone's emotions, let me put it this way. We cannot base anything on our emotions because they change. So what happens? They have this invitation, all these things. Folks, understand, again, the Bible demands a response when it's taught correctly. When the Word of God is proclaimed, it demands a response. But if you and I try to get in the way of the work of the Holy Spirit, when we try to take over the job that is God's, and begin to corrupt people's minds with gimmicks and emotional activities. And then we begin to try to drag people ourselves out of the pews and force them to make a decision. My, my. We make them twofold more a child of hell. And it's the same way in witnessing. When you and I are witnessing to others, it's not our job to hold them down and make them make a decision for Christ. That's not our job. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. Now, it should free us in witnessing. Because for so long we've been trained, especially in our area, about when you witness to someone, before you leave them, they must make a decision. If not, you failed. That pressure's been there. Would you agree? I was telling my wife, Toya, I was going over some things I learned in class one time years ago in a homiletics class. It was being trained to tell stories. Being trained at the end of the sermon to do these things. I said, and I just said, would you look at this? No wonder why we're so messed up. Now, let me say this, everything else in that class was great. Being honest, it was great. But that one area right there was wrong. Amen? So this has been ingrained in us so long, so why do most people not witness? Failure. Why are we not telling folk about Christ? Well, I'm a failure. I've been witnessing for 10 years and I ain't let no one to the Lord. I just want to give up. It's not our job to save people. We can't save nobody. I told y'all a story about the man in Australia. What street was it he lived on? I don't remember neither. Huh? George Street. You got it. That's right. Has anybody ever heard of that story? The man in George Street? He was saved back during World War I, I believe it was. World War I, World War II. He lived down in Australia. And this pastor from England was at a revival meeting and heard some folk talk about a man. Two folk gave him testimony that he asked them when they were saved. And they said, well, I was down on George Street and the man stepped out and said, sir, are you saved? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If you die tonight, will you go to heaven or hell? And handed me a tract. And that was pretty much the extent of it. And they said how that provoked them. Like, what? And it made them start thinking. So then it made them start searching. What's going on here? God is what? Drawing. So you heard a testimony. Went to another place. Heard the same testimony. Like, what? What happened? Does a man on George Street come out and say, sir or ma'am, are you saved? If you die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell and hand them a tract? He wasn't trying to hold them down and give them a noogie, amen? He wasn't trying to make them repeat a prayer, Lord, help us today. So on and on and on. He's got, look, this man done went all over the country, all over the world. He met a guy that was a Hindu from India. He said, sir, tell me about your conversion. He said, well, I was down on George Street. What's going on here on George Street? Let me tell you what was going on George Street. There was a man who was faithful to the Lord. Faithful to witness. It kept going on and on. He went to missionary meetings here, there, and kept hearing this thing about George Street. So he went down to Australia to preach a meeting down there. And he asked some folk at a church, he said, where's George Street? And he asked just one guy, I think who was a pastor, if I'm getting the story correct, and I may be getting it wrong. It's on this internet if you want to watch it. He said, sir, tell me about your conversion. He said, well, he said, I was a sailor. He said, I lived like one. He said, I was in World War II. And we had went out that night and got loaded. And I got on the wrong bus. And it dropped me off on George Street. He said, and a white-headed man, came up to me and asked me if I was saved and handed me a tract. And not long after that, he was saved, and the Lord changed his life, and now he's pastoring. And the guy asked him, he said, can I go meet this man? Is he still alive? He said, yeah, he's still alive. So they went to go meet him. I'm not trying to pull on your emotions this morning, okay? This is kind of emotional for me, thinking about this. They went to go meet this man. It's just a true story. They meet this man. He comes to the door. He's real feeble, old. Shaken, not much strength. And they sit down with him, beginning to talk to him. And they said, do you have any idea how many people you've impacted for the Lord? He said, no. He said, in all my years, in all my years of witnessing, I don't know of any converts. Don't have any converts. So they began to figure it up. And he had impacted over 100,000 people with the gospel. And didn't know of any converts. He didn't know of any. He wasn't concerned with numbers. He was simply being obedient to the Word of God. He was proclaiming the gospel. Wasn't bound by trying to get someone to make a decision. They said he just wept. He cried for joy. Glory, hallelujah. He was praising God. He had no idea. He died 2 weeks later. Amen. Died 2 weeks later. Now, folks, that story was not in my notes this morning either. I just feel like being led to give that to you this morning. It's not up to us to save people. What is our job? Obedient to the Lord. He tells us to go where? Start in our own backyard. So on and so forth. Amen. When we are saved, He has given us unction, understanding. He has also given us power and authority to preach and teach Jesus Christ. One waters, or one plants, one waters, and God, only God, gives the increase. Point all to Jesus Christ. Over in John 8:43, what a question. Why do you not understand my speech? And then he answers it, even because you cannot hear my word. I want to give you a scripture that's very encouraging. Very encouraging. I know that we get concerned. No, how soon do we want to see results? Immediately. And we forget where we have been all this time. And how the Lord worked on us. The Lord saved me whenever I was 25. I can say I've never gotten over it. Don't plan on getting over it. The Lord's saving me. Amen. I knew what kind of person I was. I know where He took me from. And He radically transformed my life. Not no fireworks show. Nothing like that. But since then, He's been making me more and more into His image. By His Word. Amen. Now, verse 37 of John chapter 6 is what it says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Very comforting for me, this verse is. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That means they can't say no. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. God draws them, they come to Christ. He's not going to tell them, no, I'm not going to save you. Wow. Folks, don't force somebody to make a false profession. Don't be beat up with yourself because you're not seeing a bunch of results here and there. You have no idea. You and I have no idea. We don't know how God's using us. Be faithful. Be obedient to the Scriptures. Proclaim the gospel. Teach them to our kids. Teach the Word of God to our kids. Very important. Amen. Let me say this before we close. Ain't it good to hear babies crying? Amen. What a blessing. Praise God for His work, for His Word, and for Him using you and I. I want to encourage you to do kingdom work. Serve Christ, for He is worthy. Let's pray. Father, we come to You again this morning in the name of Jesus Christ.